Receiving scripture will come from Psalms 37, verse 8. Psalms 37, verse 8. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil.
And it's not going to be an angry lesson, but it's a lesson about anger, so it's on that. And I'd like everybody to turn over to Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. Ecclesiastes 7. And I know, try to get everybody, don't let this appearance fool you. This lesson is for me. Now, maybe you ever talked to Weeby. I have some anger issues a lot of times, and there's a reason why I'm not a television repairman, or I don't work in a China shop and stuff. And it's something I've always been dealing with. So this lesson is for me as well as anybody else here and stuff. So, but we're looking in Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. We're looking in verse 9. He says, verse 9 here, it says, "Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools." You know, we live in this world right now. We have a pretty angry world we're living in right now. There's just fights going on about everything. Try talking politics with somebody and see how you go. Take your life in your hands there and stuff. And the people are just mad about everything, literally everything. When we look at stuff, the politics, of course, people's virtue signaling on any little thing comes up, any subject, you got people virtue signaling. They're upset about every little thing. You know, I don't know if you've ever had any the social media. You make some kind of post innocently, and there's just some complete stranger just typing out and harping on. They're like, "Wow, what did I do for that?" They're just arguing and fighting all the time. Sometimes you read some of this stuff and just complete strangers fighting over something. Sports are supposed to be for entertainment, for us to relax. And there's been fist fights over sports. There's been people literally killed because of sports on this thing. You know, that's how bad it gets, and how angry it is. You know, and it's everywhere. It's just an angry world. And then the people that you come across, you know, you're just out and about, and you might come across anger and stuff, and you got to deal with that there. You got it from strangers. Sometimes you got it from your friends, and a lot of times you got it from your family. There's certain things Kay doesn't talk about when you're in a family reunion, do you? She don't pop up. I think she really is a Michigan fan. She hasn't said anything. Yeah, watching Alan. I'm sorry, you've made an enemy. Put it on this thing. Buttons are being pushed, and we have all these kind of terms. Says that anger is so prevalent. We got all kinds of terms for it. You know, you lose your cool, or you have a meltdown, or the person erupted. My favorite one is flying off the handle. That sounds more manly than having a meltdown and stuff on that. You know, but if we could step back from ourselves, see what we're doing, we would know we don't want to act that way. We don't want to be acting like a person that's angry. We don't want to act in a way that scares other people. We don't want to act in a way that hurts others or hurts things or breaks things, and or speaking those hurtful words and those words and acts. We don't want to be doing that you just can't take back, but they do so much damage and stuff. And as we have there in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9, we don't want to be a fool here and stuff. And we want to, in the end, control our anger because it just doesn't please God. So we want to control our anger, I guess, before it controls us. And a lot of us are controlled by our anger, and it sets our whole tone for our personality and stuff. So before we do this thing, let's look at what the Bible has to say on these things. You know, the Bible speaks a lot about the anger and stuff. You remember, and it goes right from the beginning in the 4th chapter of Genesis in verse 2 about Cain and Abel, and they have their offerings in verse 3, and God accepts Abel's, but he rejects Cain's. What's Cain's reaction? He's angry. He's mad about this thing. And then, even though God speaks to him about it, he still doesn't deal with his anger. He ends up killing his brother. So the seeds of murder were set, were planted by his anger. And that we can go into 1 Samuel 18. We don't have to go there. You know the story with Saul and David. Saul and David, you know, they saw in the 18th chapter of 1 Samuel, in verse 7, he starts hearing the people singing this song about David. And they say, Saul killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And what's Saul's reaction? He is angry about David then. And then he goes out several times, actually throwing the spear at David. And David later on has to flee, and it spends a lot of time of 1 Samuel hiding out from Saul, whose only intention is to kill David. So he's angry about this thing. Or we can go to 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, about Naaman. He was that Assyrian captain who was a great warrior, but he had leprosy. He goes to see Elisha there in chapter 5. And Elisha's answer to him didn't even come out to see him, just sent a messenger out. And he said, you got the leprosy, go into the River Jordan and wash seven times in there and you'll be clean. And Naaman's reaction was anger. He's so upset. He starts to leave. But then cooler heads prevail around him, and they convince him to, hey, go back and get this, go ahead and take care of this, and you'll be clean. And so Naaman does decide to do that there. So now we look at other couple places, like in the 37th Psalm, we see an example there. In 37th Psalm in verse 8, it says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. That's what Anthony read there. We look in Proverbs, the 14th chapter of Proverbs, talking about anger. Proverbs 14 in verse 17. 14 in verse 17. He says, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. We go down to verse 29 of Proverbs 14. It says, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. We go over to chapter 15 of Proverbs. Chapter 15 in verse 18. He says, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. You know, so we look at, we see a pattern here that anger is not producing good things and all that. We can go over to the book of Galatians. And in chapter 5 of Galatians, when we look at the works of the flesh, chapter 5 of Galatians, and starting off by, say, verse 19, he says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I've told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, when we're reading this particular three verses or something, probably 90% of these works of the flesh, we have absolutely no interest at all in. 90% of it, we've got it covered. But we look there in verse 20, outburst of wrath there on that. We can go over to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 8. Well, try to go 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8. He says, I desire therefore, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8, I decided therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. You know, we can't be praying if we're angry. God's not going to be hearing our prayers if we're just angry and stuff on that kind of thing. And in James 1 and verse 19, where we were studying in our class, he says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We don't want to be getting angry too quickly on this stuff. All these verses say that the anger of man just does not produce the righteousness of God. That's James 1 and verse 20. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The Bible takes anger seriously. And the Bible says that being angry matters. And controlling your anger matters. It's really important. And anger is going to disrupt our relationship with each other. And it's going to mess up our relationship with God. Now, well, most of us should be thinking right about now. Because, yeah, anger's bad. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be doing that. But how do I do that? So you're in luck. This lesson is going to show us how to handle this stuff about our anger. You always hear these sermons, don't be angry, and let's sing the invitation song, and everybody's angry that they didn't tell us how to do this thing. So we're going to, you know, I need some help. And this is like for me and stuff. This is in my path that I had to do this thing. I need some help here because anger and me go back a long way. It's the way I've been trained. And this is how I handle things. So I had to work on this. So how do you control your anger? So to control your anger, the Bible gives us some ideas here. And where we can find them at is in the book of Ephesians. So Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We're looking in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. In Ephesians 4, and we're looking at verse 26 here. He says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." So it starts out, I just gave you a whole lesson on don't be angry. And here's verse 26 says, be angry and sin not. So there's an idea with a lot of people. It says, we're not supposed to be angry. We're supposed to be, you know, it's water off a duck's backs for us. You know, anytime something happens, it's just we don't feel it. We don't feel any kind of anger. We're just happy with whatever's going on around us. Now, this is not the case. Paul here is telling these people that you be angry, but you sin not. So there is an anger then that is not sinful. We can see that. We don't have to go there, but you can see God's wrath in the Old Testament. I think, Anthony, you know, we were talking about what times God was mad at the children of Israel. What happened? Sent serpents into the area. Or they had plagues and stuff. You know, just all kinds of stuff he did because he just got sick and tired of their complaining and whining and causing this kind of trouble. We see Jesus overturning the money tables there in the temple. He said, my Father's house should be a house of prayer. You guys are making this a den of thieves. He's angry at him for that thing, and he reacts this way. So people get a little uncomfortable explaining these kind of things because there's some people that go like, well, God did it and Jesus did it, so I can do it too. I can go out there and give everybody give them both barrels of the shotgun blast on this stuff. But others think that we're not supposed to be angry at all, and we're supposed to go to these anger management classes, and though some of us need those things, but it's like that. So there is, from this, that we can figure out that there's a kind of anger that we should not have canceled out of us. And I think people today, I think we need a lot more of this kind of anger. People aren't showing this stuff. And that's the reason so many weird things are happening in the world. And this is anger towards sin that people kind of want to shy away with. I have no anger against sin. Yes, we need to have anger on sin when they see this. So God was angry, and Jesus was angry, and they were angry because of the sin that was being presented to them and the consequences of that sin. And we got to have that kind of anger too. Now, I think this is the kind of anger I always had after I handled a fatal crash. Because it's a big mess when you're handling a fatal crash. You got to get everything down right. You got sergeants looking at what you're doing. And I said, but anyway, you're getting all that stuff done. And when you get done handling the crash, you got to get in your patrol car and you got to drive over to the next of kin's house, the family. And you got to knock on their door. And when they answer it, you got to tell them that their loved one got killed in this crash. And then just get all of the emotional hit that they're going to give to you. And I would get so angry at the driver that caused that crash. And I had crashes, fatal crashes, where a husband had killed his wife. I had crashes where a mom had killed her kids and stuff. I was still angry at these drivers and stuff. So after handling that whole crash, good luck the next day getting me to talk me out of a ticket. Because people are going to get hammered the next day. I was smacking them left and right there and stuff. And people, they didn't even realize their excuses were making it worse. Because they'd go like, you know, got you for speed. I was just going with the flow of traffic. Oh, great. So when you wreck, everybody else wrecks behind you. Is that what you're saying? Or Or, I'm sorry I was speeding, I got distracted by my kids. I said, you're speeding and you got a kid in the car? That's bad too. So now I got double. So that was all. But that was that. It took me a couple of days to get, okay, Mick, let's not, the sins of the father, not the sins of the son. So let's not hit everybody like that. But that's the kind of anger that we needed to have there. We needed to go after that kind of stuff. So we need to have that righteous anger. You're mad about sin. But if your anger is, you know, someone cut you off, or the server forgot to take the onions off your hamburger, and you specifically asked them not to have onions on it, but they put those on anyway, or the last ticket at the concert got sold just before you're waiting in line there, or you get delayed by a stop train, you know, that's not the real anger. That's not righteous indignation on that. You know, the real righteous indignation is God's word is being spurned and God is being blasphemed. You have the anger that God has on this. So Paul says this. He says, be angry, but sin not. Also, don't let the sun go down in your wrath. That's a figure of speech. He's saying, don't keep dwelling on this stuff. He said, you know, just letting that anger fester in you and keeps getting worse and worse. He says, be done with it. Get rid of this thing. Sometimes you just got to let things go. There's a lot of things that we get angry about that we got absolutely no control over. What you watch on TV, what you say, some program has something weird. You go, oh man, I'm so mad that used to be a nice show. Now they're doing that kind of stuff. Or what some politician does 1,000 miles from here when they pass some kind of law. That you got nothing that you can do about that. So, or you can't do anything about what some driver did that you've never met and they cut you off or they do something like that. You've got no control over it. So you got to let that kind of stuff go. So we see Cain and Naaman. Cain should have let it go, but he doesn't and he kills his brother. Naaman has that anger, but he lets it go because of what he's been told, and then he gets cured of his leprosy and stuff. So we let it go. We don't let the anger simmer for days or weeks or months, and it makes it worse than it really was here. Which brings us to Ephesians 4:27. He says, "Nor give place to the devil." Then, nor give place to the devil. You know, you see that in domestic violence cases. You know that. Women are more likely to be injured in domestic violence than injured in car crashes and stuff. But things just keep getting worse. And you'll hear weird cases like there's a shooting in a house. What did you shoot the person over? And the guy will say, oh, he wanted to watch this one program and I wanted to watch the other. And he wouldn't change the channel. That indicates to me, okay, that's not this TV incident. That was the last straw that they did. They've been wrestling with this stuff for years, and so this was the final little straw, so I'm going to shoot this person on this thing because of how they're doing it. Murder is your most solved crime because it's usually somebody you know that does you in. It's not a stranger that usually does it. It's usually somebody that you know. It's a loved one that you know or a friend there. And so it starts small, and then the anger just keeps building and building till finally we're just losing control. And in that, where we see here in verse 27, we give place to the devil. Satan strikes. So we need to take care of our anger and stuff. So we look here in Ephesians 4:29 then. He says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So letting the words do this. Many times, you know, this is usually talking about speaking about biblical truths here, but I think also what we say, the corrupt communication, the hurtful things we say to people and stuff. You know, because many times we're saying those corrupt things because we really haven't dealt with the anger earlier. We let these things again fester and stuff. So here's one of the first terms we get taught, that I got taught. He says you need to start practicing to be assertive and not aggressive. Be assertive, not aggressive. And I'll give you an example of this. You know, you don't wait until you're just boiling mad to say something. When the thing first starts, you address it. You know, like, you know, the telemarketer calls you, or you get stuffed, and you don't want to talk to the guy. So what should you say? I'm sorry, I don't want to talk. Oh, yes, you do. No, I don't. I'm pretty sure I don't want to talk, so I'm not going to talk. And I'll give you this example of this thing. I'm in the grocery store shopping with the wife. And you come around the corner, you go down the next aisle, and there's some lady got her cart not on the right side or left side. She's right in the middle. Look at that. So I pull up there, and obviously she's going to see me, but she doesn't. She's looking at the can of peas or something, and I'm just waiting for her to do this, and she's doing all the adjustments, and I'm starting to get mad. I'm going, man, you know, she probably drives that way too. Just parks in the middle of the street, whatever she wants to. And I got to get things done. I got stuff to do, and she's holding me up. I can't do anything. Man, it's making me mad. And I'm just getting madder and madder about it. And all of a sudden, here comes Karen behind me in that little nanny stroller. She pops around, and she goes, hi, how are you? Hey, could we get through here? And I go, oh, certainly. And she pushes the cart to the side. And then Karen, not only that, she's going, so what are you guys? Oh, we're shopping for this thing. Do you have family coming over? Yeah, I've got family coming over. And also, and in 5 minutes, she's putting her down again. Well, she's just made a brand new friend. And I'm just kind of, yeah, I suppose I should have asked her something. And I just follow her through this thing. But assertive, not as demanding your rights, but it's just say something. You know, a lot of times, the anger goes away because I just dealt with it, but I'm waiting for other stuff to happen here. So not waiting for this rage to just boil over. Now I'm going to say something that's going to be a bunch of angry words and stuff. You know, so, and we look at this thing in the latter half there of verse 29. And he says, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers? You know, we need to, what's good for necessary edification? Most of my anger has to do with me. Like somebody's done something to me, somebody's taken something from me, somebody's got in my way and has been a barrier to my goals for the day or something. Somebody owes me and I'm just not getting my way. So it's all me, me, me. But verse 29, Paul is telling us to be considerate of others. What's the effect on others? How can I help other people? You know, do I want to be hurting other people, hurting a stranger I've never met? They're, you know, what's best for them and stuff. And not only people that we hurt, but you look in verse 30 here, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed in the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. When we're getting angry, we're grieving the Holy Spirit as well. And we were sealed for the day of redemption. So our anger grieves God. And we have grieved God, the God who has taken care of everything that I need. I'm grieving Him. This, I'm getting angry over a lot of things that we shouldn't be angry about. So I'll give you an example of this, the way the joke goes. This joke is on this beach, ocean beach, and there's this grandma walking with her little grandson, probably about Amy's age. And I don't know if younger people remember the Buster Brown outfit. There's a Buster Brown shoes. Anyway, the kid had got a big hat. It's a dress-up thing. He's got shorts on. He's got this jacket that kind of stops here at the way through. He's got a little tie and stuff. Look, he looks cute. They used to have Buster Brown shoes, and he'd have this picture of this kid and stuff. So they're walking along the beach, enjoying the day. Nice, calm day. All of a sudden, this rogue wave comes out of nowhere, lifts up, crests over the beach, hits the beach, knocks her down, water all over the place, goes back out of the ocean. She finally stands up and gets her senses, and her grandson is gone, swept out into the ocean. So she starts praying about this. She says, Lord, please give me back my grandson. I'd be ever so thankful. Please, please, please. And all of a sudden, while she's doing this, another enormous wave comes off the ocean, hits the beach, knocks her down again, goes back out into all the water, goes back out. She gets up, gets her senses, and all of a sudden she looks down, and there's her grandson sitting right next to her on the beach, totally unharmed. So she looks at the child, and she looks out to the ocean, and she looks up and says, he had a hat. So we had a hat. We got to be focusing on on the things that God has given us. And when we're getting these little things that's supposed to be making us angry, you know, I really don't have any right to be angry. God's taking care of me and stuff. So we see that thing. So when I told these guys this yesterday. He said, when I drive my car and you're coming up to like the traffic jam areas, the ones where they're doing construction, and they say lane ends in a quarter mile, lane ends, you know, in a half mile, merge. And I'm already merging, and I know there's going to be somebody. We call them the zipper people, because some guy said, "Oh, zipper movement, this is the best way." Everybody said, "Yeah." When the sign says merge, that's when you start zippering. But these guys go all the way to the arrow board before they go to cross. So I know it's going to irk me a bit. So all I do is tap the dash of my car before this stuff even starts, or when it's happening. And that is telling me, Mick, Father, I'm just glad I've got a car and I'm not walking. This is fine. I can get by. You've given me everything I need. And I'm going to be a couple minutes late because of this, but that is fine. This is fine. And then the anger goes away. Some people don't have that, and that's where you see we've had a few of those crashes at the end. Neither one wants to give to the other, and they end up hitting each other and stuff. So we're looking at that side. So verse 31 then. What we have to do now is to get rid of the anger, but replace it. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We need to get rid of all that stuff. So we got to practice not being mad. To practice not being mad, first of all, you got to know what anger is, what anger feels like. There's a lot of people that don't know what anger feels like. And that was the case with me. I didn't realize I was angry. This is the way I felt stuff. And I didn't realize this until we had a dog. We had a dog in our house. And I come walking into the room, something like into the kitchen or something. And I'd see the dog cowering in the corner or underneath the table. And I'd be just like, what's the dog doing? I went, uh-oh, you're angry, aren't you, Meg? Because the dog can tell that I'm angry. So the dog was getting prepared for that. I said, so how do you feel? Like you're clenching your teeth or you're really tensed in your muscles and you're just heart rate's up and stuff. And to recognize that, what anger feels like. So the reason I want to know what it feels like so I can put the brakes on it when it happens and stuff. So the anger's gonna all kinds of things still to trigger. It's gonna light the fuse. One of the problems we have at the house is my wife in our bathroom has this fancy type of towel holder. Doesn't work. I don't know. So I put the towel up there, and this is what I do. I put the towel up, and I start to walk away, and you get about a second or two, and all of a sudden you hear a little sound. And that's, look back, and there's that towel. The towel that obviously has it out for me, because I hung it up. I told it its wishes, but it hit the ground. And for that split second, it's like, that towel's got it out for me. We got to do something against this towel. And I said, so now when I recognize that, the fuse has been lit. So now when I recognize, I go, okay, it's a towel. I said, pull that fuse. We're not going to blow up here on the towel. And I got to fold this thing. I'm really glad that I'm married to my wife because she helps me with so many things. Even so, I can put up with this towel thing and stuff. But before, I wouldn't have that. I would just be getting mad. And that would set me down the course. Why are you mad, Mick? Because of the towel. That's what started the whole thing. It's not my fault. It's the towel's fault. Stuff. But to realize that stuff, you know, we got to put the brakes on as fast as you see this thing happening. And I find that it gets easier every day. There's a whole bunch of things that could still irk me, but I put the brakes on it really quick. Don't be getting upset about that. We got to practice, and we got to be watchful when the signs of anger are shown and put the fire out. Which is, again, brings us to verse 32. You take the anger away, but you got to replace it with something. So verse 32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we got to replace the emotion of anger with something fruitful, with kindness, being tender-hearted. So we're tender-hearted. We're loving someone. We're caring about them. We're forgiving one another. Like, how do you feel if you've done something wrong? How would you want to be treated by the other people? You wanted them to forgive you, so we want to do that. And how do you feel when you failed God? You want God to forgive us as well and stuff. So we live in an outrage culture right now. That's the fad. And we got trouble is, we got tremendous opportunities to become angry. They're all around us. People treat everybody, we're just finding a whole bunch of the population is treating the other part really bad. So a lot of times you're not going to find Kay that's going to treat you nicely and stuff. You're going to be finding people being mean to you and stuff. So we got all kinds of opportunities to be angry. But we also now got all kinds of opportunities with the same incidents to let our light shine for good, dear. So let's recap. James 1:20 says, "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So being angry is over stupid things, not about righteous things, is bad. It's bad for us, and it's not the kind of anger that's righteous that we're feeling. We're just feeling over day-to-day stuff. So figure out how anger feels like, what anger feels like, and put the brakes on when you start feeling that again. The Lord's given us these signals. Hey, get prepared, dear. The Lord has blessed us and has taken care of us, so let these things go. And how important is it is another slogan there. You know, how important is this thing? So I just kind of do that with sports. I kind of don't take sports seriously at all. So anytime I see a Michigan fan, I just say, well, as long as those kids are having fun, that's the only important thing. And they just kind of, yeah, get out of here. And they're just, because some people enjoy pushing your buttons and getting you going. So they're interested in that kind of stuff there too. So you're not getting help from people and stuff. Okay, so we got to replace the bad with the good. Get rid of the anger, replace it with kindness and forgiveness. And seek forgiveness. The Lord's taken care of us. He knows we're going through troubles, and He wants us saved, and He wants to help us out. So He's available there. So that makes us all the more forgiving and tolerant of it. So that's my lesson for tonight. So thank you guys for listening. If there's any way we can help anybody here, if you're having trouble with anything, doesn't have to be anger, just anything, let us know. We'll all stand and sing our song of invitation.